chapter 28, verses 1 to 16. And it can be found on page 1000 in the church Bibles. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 12, and can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1155. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then there also those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all of people most to be pitied. But if Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive."
Before we look again at God's word, let's bow our heads and I'll pray for us all. Lord God, we thank you that we can gather here. We can thank you that we can gather in safety, knowing that Christian folk in many parts of the world are not assured of their safety as they gather on Easter Day. Thank you for Bibles in our hands, knowing that many Christian folk do not have Bibles. We thank you that we're able to share with each other, and we pray that by your Holy Spirit you'll make this printed word become alive in our hearts, so we'll know your living word, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you turn with me, please, to our two scripture readings? Turn with me, please, first to Matthew chapter 28, page 1000, and then later on we'll look again at 1 Corinthians. Let's just go back to the events of Good Friday. We're here to celebrate Easter, of course, but let's just remember the events of Good Friday: Jesus' death, and then the evening, Jesus' body placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a stone rolled over the entrance, and guards placed on the tomb. Now, the following day was Saturday, a Saturday when Jewish people do not do any work, including not carrying any burdens or any goods around the place. So it wasn't until Sunday morning, the first day of the working week for the Jewish people, that the women came to the tomb carrying grave clothes and carrying spices to anoint the body. And we read about the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary was Mary, mother of James, coming with spices to anoint Jesus' body. And they were anxious, of course. They didn't know how to move the stone from the tomb. They didn't know what to find. But they got to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away. And if you turn with me back to Matthew chapter 28 on page 1000, you'll see what the angel said to them. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." Now, I want to ask three questions this morning. Firstly, what happened to Jesus' body? Many people have made many suggestions over many years as to what happened to Jesus. What happened to the body? Why was the tomb empty? But I'm going to need some help. Now, around the church are some plastic Easter eggs. In fact, there are 12 of them. And if you've got a plastic Easter egg with number one, could you please come up and tell me what's inside the egg?
It says, the disciples stole the body.
Thank you very much. Well, this is a suggestion that actually goes right back to the beginning. Look in Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 onwards. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Well, people made that suggestion right from the get-go, that the disciples stole the body. But think about this. The disciples would have had to overpower the guard, professional soldiers. They would then be proclaiming the risen Lord Jesus throughout their lives and knowing that they were living for a lie, knowing that they had the dead body of Jesus, and their whole lives were given over to telling people about something they knew to be a lie. Now, many of them died cruel deaths, and it's very unlikely that someone would give their whole life for something they know to be a lie. So certainly people make that suggestion. The disciples stole the body. What other suggestions do people make? Who's got the Easter egg number two?
Robbers stole the body.
Thank you very much. Robbers stole the body. Now, they might have thought there were valuable goods inside the tomb. But again, robbers would have had to overpower the guard. The guard were there for a good reason. The Romans didn't want any trouble, and they wanted to make sure that Jesus' body was safe in the tomb. So very unlikely that robbers had overpowered the guard and stole the body for whatever reason. Another suggestion. Who's got Easter egg number three?
Jewish authorities took body away.
Thank you very much. So Jewish authorities took the body away. That's quite possible. But why would they do this? If they did this, if they took the body away, once the disciples were going about the place claiming that Jesus was alive, All the Jewish authorities had to do was to show everyone in the marketplaces, in the temple, all the public places, the bloody corpse of Jesus. So if the disciples said, no, he's alive, he's risen, he's alive, they would say, no, he's not, he's dead, here's his corpse. So again, highly unlikely, the Jewish authorities took the body away. Who's got Easter egg number four?
Soldiers took body away.
The soldiers took the body away. Well, again, it's quite possible. But again, all the Roman authorities had to do, and they had enough trouble with all the events surrounding Jesus, and we could see how Pilate gave Jesus over to be crucified. Again, all the Roman authorities had to do was to show everyone the bloody corpse of Jesus, and that would just squash any suggestion that Jesus was alive. Who's got Easter egg number five?
Jesus rolled the stone away.
Thank you very much. People suggest this even now, that Jesus rolled the stone away. That having been flogged by the soldiers, having been hung up on the cross, crucifixion was a familiar means of execution. The soldiers knew what they were doing. Having had a spear jabbed in his side to just check that he was dead and seeing the blood coming out of his body, then placed in the tomb, despite all these terrible things that happened on that Friday. People suggest that in the cool of the tomb, Jesus revived, he unwrapped all the heavy linen clothes off his body, he pushed back this heavy stone from inside the tomb, overpowered the soldiers, and then walked around proclaiming that he was the risen Lord Jesus. Well, some people suggest this, but it is pretty a fantastic suggestion. Who's got Easter egg number six?
God took him.
That's really the only answer we're left with, that God took him. And if we look in Acts chapter 3, verse 15, you might like to turn to it, but in Peter's sermon at Pentecost, that first Pentecost, Peter said to the people, you killed, talking to the Jewish people, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. God raised him from the dead. So people make these suggestions. What happened to Jesus' body? We can dismiss the first five, I suggest, and have confidence that God took him. Now, why does this matter? The most crucial thing for the Christians is the cross, the event of Christ dying on the cross for our sins. So why does resurrection matter? Why is it so very important for Christian people? Yes, the cross is central for the Christian faith, where we remember Christ's death for us. So why does the resurrection matter? Why are we gathered here this morning on Easter Day thinking about an empty tomb? Why don't we have an empty tomb as the central symbol of the Christian faith? Why does it matter so much that Jesus really died? Well, the first thing, we're told that it was prophesied in the scriptures. Scriptures said that this would happen. Psalm 16, verse 10. You will not leave me to the place of the dead. You will not let your faithful one rot away. So many of the prophecies in the Old Testament and the Psalms are fulfilled in the events of the death and then resurrection of Christ. Scriptures said this would happen. You will not leave me in the place of the dead. You will not let your faithful one rot away. Now, Jesus himself said this would happen. You might like to turn back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, and just going back to Jesus' teaching. And in the latter part of the Gospels, we see Jesus in particular teaching his disciples, preparing these men for their ministry after his death. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So why does it matter? Yes, Scripture said it would happen, but Jesus himself said this would happen. Again, why does this matter? Our resurrection depends on this. If there's no resurrection, if Christ does not be raised, then the whole thing is a waste of time. Would you just turn back with me to our second scripture reading and look at me with me with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. Now the issue, in fact, in Corinth, some were suggesting that they're already living the new resurrection lives as Christians. And the particular issue in Corinth is seen to be some confusion or misunderstanding, and people suggesting that they're already resurrected. There's not going to be a bodily resurrection. We're here. But Paul, in this long argument, makes it clear that Christ indeed truly died, truly rose again. And if we reject this truth, and reject this truth of the resurrection, then we reject any confidence that we will have in our resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So Good Friday, Jesus died. This is an historical event. But on Easter Day, an empty tomb, Jesus raised from death. Again, a historical event that is so key for us as Christians. Otherwise, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. So in which case, why are we here today? We might just pack up and go shopping. I hear there's a certain furniture store this weekend that's offering very good discounts. So, you know, we're just wasting our time here. We ought to be out shopping or enjoying the sun. The whole thing is a waste of time if indeed Christ has not been raised to death. But, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but, you might remember a few weeks ago that great word, therefore, from Romans 12, but this is one of my favorite words here from Paul in Corinthians, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The point being, Christ died and rose to new life, so in time, we, when we die, will be raised to new life. And it gives us confidence. It really does matter. The facts of our Christian story, Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, lead us to faith. So why does it matter to me? Why does it matter to me? We talk about our Christian faith. Now, Christian faith is not the power of positive thinking. It's based on the facts of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Just turn with me, if you can, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I haven't got a page to hand. Someone might be able to tell me. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Okay. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So there's Peter talking about a new birth, a living hope, an eternal inheritance. Our resurrection depends on Christ's resurrection. Peter talks about a living hope. We have a new hope. So what's that going to mean to you and me today? Now, there's some more Easter eggs to open. Who's got Easter egg number 7?
New life.
New life. Let me read some words from the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 8, verse 11, talking about this new life we have in Jesus Christ. And if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies, give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. So saying the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from death will so raise us from death to life. We have a new life in Christ. It starts when we come to know Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. But it's the promise of new life, new bodies, when we die and are raised again with Jesus Christ, when he comes again to claim those who know and love him. And this is a great thing. We think of people dying with illness and disease, and we know our own mortality and decrepitude and so on. But it gives us great hope that we will have new life in Jesus Christ. Who's got Easter egg number 8?
A new start.
A new start. What's that going to mean? A new start. It means our sins are forgiven. Christ died on the cross, and on the cross he said that he would bear our sins. But if he never rose to life again, how would you or I know that this is true? How would I have confidence I have this new start in Jesus Christ? But because Jesus is true to his word, because God is powerful, raised Jesus Christ from death to life, so too we have assurance that our sins are forgiven. A new start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. We have that confidence of sins forgiven. We do not need to be burdened by guilt. Christ on the cross took all the burden and pain of guilt and sin away. Who's got Easter egg number 9?
New destiny.
Thank you very much. A new destiny. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, talking about an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. A new destiny. When we die, we'll be placed in the grave or whatever, but our new resurrection lives are not just drifting around in some void, but will be in the presence of Jesus Christ for all eternity, rejoicing with Christian people across the centuries, across the generations, with Jesus, worshipping Jesus. A new destiny, glorious destiny. So new life, new start, new destiny. These are all part of the Christian hope that we have through Christ's resurrection. Easter egg number 10.
New bodies.
New bodies, indeed. So that's something to look forward to. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. We have that confidence that we will be bodily raised. We don't live in some type of strange platonic world where we're floating around. We are physically here and will physically be with Jesus in heaven in our new resurrection bodies. This is all part of the Christian hope. Easter egg number 11.
New power to live by.
New power to live by. So what does this mean for us now? What does the resurrection of Jesus mean for us now? Jesus promised that after he died, he'd rise again to heaven, and that he would send his Holy Spirit to empower us in our lives as Christians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Because Christ rose from the dead, we have the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus in us, empowering us to live new lives here and now. Now this Christian hope, new life, new start, new destiny, new bodies, new power to live by, gives us hope in all the petty frustrations of this world and the great tragedies. We think of the 138 people who've been killed this morning in Colombo, Sri Lanka, 400 plus injured. This new hope gives confidence to those families of those who've died, gives comfort to those who've been injured. We think of Lara McKee, the journalist shot in Londonderry. Again, this resurrection hope gives confidence to her family and her friends and that community. The Christian hope is key, and it comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter egg number 12. So this really is the sum of all our Christian hope.
Alleluia! Jesus Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We have